Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Fat Lot of Good podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne. I'm a comedian, writer, massive show off. I'm a slow jogger and a fast drinker, and I'm absolutely thrilled today because we have Faye Reed in the house. All right, Faye, how you doing?
Hey, Helen.
Hey, Faye. I've got Faye on today, well, basically because I love her. She's been my friend for how long now? About 6 years?
6 to 7 years.
Yeah, so Faye, I did that thing where I kind of stole her off another friend. We have a mutual friend, Vic. Hi, Vic. I know you're listening.
We love you, Vic.
You know, there is nothing more delicious than getting another friend from a friend because it's already like you've made the cut, haven't you? It's a lazy but wonderful way to make a new friend. I know you're good because you like that lady.
Yeah.
You're in. And Faye and I have had many like late night fags and gossips outside. And she's delicious. But I really wanted Faye on the program because she's starting a revolution, man. She's getting it out there. She's the woman behind 9 to 5 menopause. And I've spoken to Faye about how menopause is being represented, about her story. And I just wanted her on the show to talk about that today. So welcome, Faye.
Thank you for having me, Helen.
So we like to start the show. I say we. Me. I'm the boss of this show. Please tell us about your body. What is your relationship with your body now?
Well, it's weird. I'm probably the biggest I've ever been, but I'm much more accepting of it. When I was younger, in my 20s, I used to work in a bar and I was just surrounded by stick thin women. So, of course, working in a bar, I was able to hold my tummy in for hours on end. Now, I don't give a shit. Whatever.
Good.
Let it hang out.
Excellent. And how old are you now, Faye?
I'm 51.
Shut up.
I'm 51.
She looks about 32, people. Bastard. fucking gorgeous. How did that relationship come about? You say you moved from your 20s to now where you're bigger and you love yourself. What were the things that made you change your mind about yourself?
I think it's an age thing. I mean, I could probably do with losing a few pounds. There's no way around that. But I've always loved my food and I'm not going to sacrifice that and be miserable. And it's like, I'm black. I've got boobs and a booty. It goes with the territory. So it's like, there's no point avoiding it.
She's bought the ticket. She's taking the ride.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you've got people like the Kardashians who do the bum implants and women that go to back alleys to get bigger bums. And I'm like, mine's all natural. I'm just rolling with it.
Yeah.
So it's fine.
That's fantastic. And how did you feel as a teenager? So you talked about in your 20s, you were in bars. As a teen, were you happy with who you were?
I would say not. I was tall and I also developed at a very young age, like around 12 or 13. I had boobs. My period had started. So for me, I felt I didn't quite know who I was and I didn't feel that comfortable. And again, everyone around me was really skinny. So I did spend some of my teen years just wearing baggy rugby tops and stuff like that.
Mm.
Like, luckily it was part of the fashion, so I kind of blended in. But
yeah.
I wasn't going to wear the skimpy outfits, no.
No, I was the same. And you're growing up, you come from quite a big family, is that right? You had lots of brothers and sisters and things like that.
I'm the oldest of four. Mm-hmm. There's two boys and two girls. So I was like the girl into Culture Club and Wham. And then you had my brother, who was like a serious musician in jazz and soul. And then my sister was a big reggae head and stuff. So, and my brother was into massive dance music, the other one.
Yeah.
So it's all very different.
Very loud by the sound of it at your house. And at the head of the mothership was your amazing mother.
Yes. Yeah. She kind of held us all together.
Mm. And what sort of influence do you think she had on you and your body? Like, was she positive about her own body?
Yeah, she never really... My mum didn't care. She never... ever really said, oh no, I can't wear this because I look fat or whatever. I think for her, her shyness came about because she didn't know what clothes would complement her.
Mm-hmm.
But body-wise, no, mate, the food we were given was not slimming food.
Why wasn't I at your house? That sounded much, much better.
It was amazing. My mum was from Jamaica, so our food was from the Caribbean, so to speak. You've got things like breadfruit, you've got fried chicken, you've got ackee and soulfish, you've got fried dumpling. It was heavily saturated.
I'm just salivating and coming at the same time. It sounds amazing. And did she do all the cooking from scratch?
My mum done all the cooking from scratch. And it's a well-known fact. When black people eat, they need a little lie down after.
Then it's done properly.
When it's done properly.
Oh, and when you cook that food, do you cook that food now?
I've kind of adapted it a little bit. I think even my mum, as the years went on, and like I said, she got diagnosed with diabetes, so she altered her diet quite a bit, and it was a lot more cleaner, not using so much heavy fried foods and such forth. And I'm a kind of mixture of part Caribbean and part... westernized, like English cooking.
Yeah.
My friends, one of my Caribbean friends always used to say to me, because in the Caribbean as well, like the Chinese have always had like homeopathic medicines and such forth, I do use some of those things that my mum used to do when we were little. Like if we had a cold, she'd boil a coconut so she could get all the oil out, then mix it with a camphor candle and rub it on our chest, then we'd be fine.
Amazing.
All those things. And I've adopted that. I do that myself now. So there are little bits and pieces I take that my mum did and kind of just mix it with like modern day living a little bit.
Yeah. And you lost your amazing mother. When was it? Just a couple of years ago?
Yeah, 2 years ago. It was 2 years ago in January. That was hard.
Yeah.
No one prepares you for it. And I think grief is one of those things. Depending on the relationship you have with the person that's passed away, it kind of defines how you grieve, so to speak. But yeah, I'm kind of slowly coming out of the fog of that a little bit, but it's taking me a little while to get there.
Because I think, I mean, this is a podcast focused on bodies, and I think we often talk about the emotional side of grief and you know, the arc of loss and things like that. But we don't often talk about how it feels in our bodies to grieve someone.
Like, oh.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that. For me, how I kind of got through it, and it's funny because I see a therapist, and the things that got me through it was alcohol. And I mean a lot of alcohol, a therapist, good friends, an addiction to clothing.
Yeah.
To clothes shopping.
Calling Papa ASOS.
Yes. Top of the list. Yeah. Top of the list.
Always. Oh, God, there is something so lovely, like lying in bed at 11 o'clock. I'm like, yeah, I need that. Click, 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 click. Oh, come to mama.
That is me.
Oh, my God. It does, well, literally feed my beast. It's addictive and terrible. And let's not go into the environmental reasons.
No,
let's not crush it.
Skip that one next.
No. And so you talk about alcohol putting that in your body. Was that, do you think that was just the numbing of it, of the loss, or?
It was definitely the numbing of it, because the year she died in January, I had 4 weddings and her funeral. Excuse the pun.
Hello, Richard Curtis. Yes.
And a really big birthday.
Okay.
So there was a lot of social stuff going on. And I kind of just sleepwalked my way through everything. And I just, I used alcohol to numb it. There's no two ways about it. Because I did say to my therapist, I was like, I'm drinking a lot. You know when you're like, you're drinking a lot, but you're not actually stopping. And you actually think, have I got a problem? Maybe I have, but never mind.
No. I don't know. Why is the Sauvignon Blanc winking at me and at about 5 o'clock every night. When I've gone through difficult times, whether it's like, feeling low about being a mum or different, the relationship is in the shit. I do go to alcohol because it does, in terms of my body, it numbs the feeling and it feels like a reward. And
it tastes good.
Yeah, it tastes nice. It tastes really nice. And also, I associate alcohol with having good times.
Yeah.
And it's like the fun thing. And I'm sure, and look, it does make me awful in the morning and all the things. And it's not good for you. I'm not saying alcohol is the answer for everything. But you had an awareness. It's not like you're like, I am drinking too much. I know. But did you kind of know in your head it was for a finite time?
No.
Okay. that runaway train. This is how I am right now.
That didn't come into my head. So the first year was just, it was an alcoholic haze. And I would say the second year was pretty similar. Mm. It was only towards the end of last year I was like, I'm drinking a lot and I want to give myself a break. So, and it actually turned out I was ill in December. So just after Christmas, I think Boxing Day might have been my last drink, and I didn't drink again until the end of Jan.
Okay.
Because I was like, I just want to give my body a break. And I was more aware that, hey, just nail it for a little while.
Yeah. So you've spoken to me, obviously outside the podcast, about exercise and how that has had amazing kind of impact on you.
It has, because for me, over the years, I've always loved the high that exercise gave me, but I just hated doing it. And I would say in the last 2 to 3 years, I found stuff that I enjoy. Like I learned to swim. I couldn't swim before. And I was like, check me out. I can swim. Black people don't swim, by the way. Everyone's learning. Every black person I know is learning to swim.
And why do you think? Why do you think that? What?
I think it's. I don't know what it is. For me, I was thinking about it. I think I must have got my head dunked when I was little or something, and I hated it. And definitely for black women, chlorine and salt water are not our friends when it comes to our hair.
All right.
So it's like, do not get the hair wet. Do not get the hair wet.
Understood. So what do you do now then? Are you a lot of caps or what do you...
Swimming hats, yeah. Right. I wear swimming hats. And actually, when my mum died, I swam a lot. I loved it. I absolutely loved it because it just takes you away somewhere else. And it's a good form of exercise.
So if someone's going through grief at the moment, have you got any sort of... Is that a big thing for you? Is exercise...
Exercise is a big thing for me, but I think be kind to yourself. Admittedly, when my mum first died, I kind of just wanted to give everything up and crawl under a duvet. And like friends and my therapist said, no, you don't want to do that. You want to carry on. So I think as much as it's a hard one, because there's one side, be nice to yourself and don't beat yourself up. But the other side is you have to do stuff. You do. You need to kind of keep your mind going and keep your body going as well, or else you will just lose your shit.
Now, at the same time, I mean, you've had a big couple of years, babe. You've also been going through the delightful thing that we call menopause.
Oh, what's that?
Oh, my God. So
every woman will have their own experience. But I think I'm so pleased it's being talked about a lot more, because there is stuff out there. And I think we're a different generation to our parents and our grandparents, and I think as women, we're just a bit more open where our parents weren't.
Yeah, I think that's it. And I don't ever remember my mum mentioning it. And how old am I? 40. And so that would have been, 20 years ago. The only time I saw it mentioned was when I watched Fried Green Tomatoes. And I think the lead character has a hot flush and smashes a hole through a wall. And that's what I thought. I thought it just made you crazy.
Oh, it
you
does.
Know? Yeah. Okay, Faye, tell us all about it.
Every experience is different. Yeah. Because when I went to my GP, she did ask me, how old was your mum when she went through it? And I was like, I think she was in her 40s. And my mum always used to call her period the ting. So so she'd always go, the ting come back today after being absent for many, many months. So that's kind of how I pinpointed it. But she never said, I'm going through the menopause. She never said it. For me, it started, I was 47. Mm-hmm. I just started a new job. first week, sat at my desk and I just felt this woof of heat from my chest to my head. Happened a few more times and I kept thinking, what the fuck is that? And then I was like, oh, I'm having hot flushes. The realisation. I actually laughed though. I wasn't scared. I don't know what I was. I kind of took myself off to Whole Foods, spoke to the lady there who was lovely, but didn't have a clue.
Yeah.
So then I just kind of researched it, took some sage, some women's supplement stuff, and I was absolutely fine for a year. I just got hot now and again. Absolutely fine. And then the motorway pile-up happened. My mum's diagnosis, job got super stressful, and my symptoms just ramped up. Anxiety, I wasn't sleeping, just really, really hot all the time. It was awful. It was just awful. And that's actually when I went to my doctor. And I remember just sitting there and I just burst into tears. She went, let's get you some help. Here we go. I'm going to prescribe
what you
some.
You want to calm, nice lady. Yeah. It's okay, darling.
Yeah, we're going to get you some help.
Just give me the drugs. Just lots of lovely drugs. What drugs did they give you?
Well, at the time, because I was in a state.
You sound like you got the full throttle. You got the full.
It all came all at once, yeah. And I was just like, I can't deal with this. So she actually prescribed me HRT, and after a few goes trying to find out the right one, I'm actually taking HRT patches. Now, the one thing I will say, because I went on a nutrition course and I spoke to a GP who advocates alternative remedies. And I was talking to her and she asked me what I was taking. And in the end, I said to her, well, I'm actually on the patches now. And she just went, good, because they are much more sophisticated, but they're much more expensive. So doctors don't like to give them out so much. So I'm like, I'm never coming off these bad boys again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're my happy place.
Yeah, they're my happy place. But the one thing I will say is find what's right for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it's a bad thing because it definitely helped me out. But I would have, if I was of the right mind, I would have researched a more alternative remedy route. Because I do like doing stuff like that rather than just leaping into the hardcore drugs straight away.
Yeah.
But it was right thing for me at the right time.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I mean, now when menopause is discussed, let's face it, it's usually by a white woman who's skinny and who's had kids. Like, it's like, oh, I'm going through the change. And all that sort of thing. And, you know, you are not that lady.
No. I'm not that lady.
No.
And that's the one thing I realised, because once, after I'd been to Whole Foods, I thought, right, I'm going to just do some research. And I was like, stuff is starting to be talked about, but they all white and middle class, and they don't have a job. Mm. Hello? The majority of women have to work and earn a living. And I was just like, and that's why I wanted to start the 9-to-5 menopause thing, just to showcase, hey, so I'm of a certain age, I'm going through the menopause and I've got a job. My life isn't over.
Mm.
It's great. This is just the next chapter for me.
Yeah. And I think it's so, you know, there's maternity leave, there's all this awareness of what women go through as like the mother. But there's no menopause leave. There's no, I've got to go to have an HRT appointment. And it seems so ridiculous because this is a given. This is what, you know, and you think back when I had bosses who were in their 50s and who were women. I was like, ah, they were probably just going through the menopause. And they were, you know, but
you can't talk about it at
work. And you can't say, look, I'm going through a really hard day today. Yes, we have to have all the windows open and the air conditioning on. Yes, I know it's December. But the language isn't there and it's all very hard. And there's absolute shame associated with it.
I would say the first 2 years of my menopause, I didn't discuss it outside of my friends and family.
Mm.
Like no one in work knew. Like I'd be like, who's put the fucking heating up again? Seriously, give me a fan.
Yeah.
Luckily, my boss also feels the heat. So, and as he's the top man, he gets the cooling thing.
Good.
So I'm like, it's fantastic. But now I talk about it. I've got a couple of guys from work who follow my 9-to-5 menopause thing. One of them is a father. And I think that's good.
Yeah.
Because people need to be more aware. Men and women need to be more aware. It's not just because, albeit at the moment I'm single, women are married, they've got partners, they've got boyfriends. It's like, come on, this is something that's going to happen.
Mm.
In the same way, they've had you deal with a woman having periods, you deal with a woman getting pregnant and giving birth, you're going to deal with a woman going through the menopause.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
One of the things that I love about your 9-to-5 menopause is you talk about clothing, and you wouldn't think that that is a thing, but when you're sweating, and I remember you saying, like, being on the tube and being in unnatural fibres is no party.
It's not a party. Not in the rush hour, it's not, trust me. Yeah. It's a party for one. It's not a joint party.
No.
When my sweats, like my hot flashes really kicked in, I kind of made the choice that I could no longer travel on the tube in the rush hour. I live in London. I live in central London. I get on and the tube is already packed. And then you kind of start hyperventilating because you're just thinking, oh my God, I'm so hot. And then it brings it on. Then you start sweating. You try to discreetly have a tissue to wipe your brow. And everyone's looking at you as if to say, why is she so sweaty? Mm. Like this. But the other way I've tried to combat it is with clothes. I've always loved clothes. I've always loved fashion. So for me, it was like, right, what do I do? So I researched it. There's websites out there for menopause clothing. They're a bit sacky. A little bit old, but hey, not for me.
So like a Hessian sack.
Yes, it was like a Hessian sack, and I was like, seriously, is this it?
So you obviously you're not allowed to be sexy.
No, sexy doesn't come into it. No, your life is over.
Right,
your life is officially over.
Just hide yourself under some kind of massive shroud. Put a muumuu on and just don't talk about it. Do not talk about the menopause. Don't be. Or just wear one of those hats with a fan in it.
Yeah, it's really stylish. No one's going to notice you. You'll be fine.
Look like it's some kind of American tourist. Nothing wrong with them, of course. So what would you recommend for people kind of going through the menopause now?
I think do your research. I would say find out what's right for you. Go to your GP, talk to your family, talk to your friends. Every woman is different and will experience different symptoms. You might decide you just want to do a homeopathic route, and that's fine. Or you might decide you want to do HRT. Don't let anyone tell you what you should do. Do what you feel is right for you and your body, and don't be judged by anybody else.
Now, we're going to move swiftly from menopause, getting hot and sticky in the menopause, into dating.
Oh my God.
So, Faye, you're a sexy motherfucker.
I try.
Yep. Tell us about what it's like out there for our sad fucking... I know we're going to say smug married couple, because we're not smug. We're fucking miserable.
But some of you are smug. I have to admit.
Smug and miserable.
Smug and miserable. But I have to say, my married friends do get a kick out of my stories. And I'm just like, this isn't funny. This is my life.
such assholes. I'm sorry, Faye. What are we doing to you? But dude, tell us everything. Tell us everything.
Well, I haven't dated for quite a while, so I thought, right, I'm going to get back out there. But I'm quite old-fashioned. I like boy meets girl. They go to a bar. They get drunk. They snog.
Nice.
They swap numbers. He phones. They start dating. Simple.
Lovely.
No, it's not like that these days, is it?
No. There's things like dick pics and swipe left and swipe right. I don't like it, Faye.
I can't be doing with it. I mean, I did try Tinder for a little while and there were far too many men reclining on a bed with no top on. And I'm like, pass.
Yeah.
Leave that one alone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on Guardian Soulmates at the moment, which is okay, but some of them are a little bit serious and worthy, I have to say. It's just like, hey, let's just go for a drink, have some fun and see what happens. But yeah, it's a bit of a minefield.
Mm.
I'm not very good at it, I have to admit.
It's a weird sort of very public thing now as well. Like, and also, yes, because you've got prying, smug, married people going, how's it going? Are you dating? Who are you dating? What's that like? Like, I don't work for you! All right, now we're going to move into sort of a quick fire question round. The first one is, what makes you feel sexy, Faye Reid?
High heels. Oh, what makes you feel sexy? Oh, I know. A new bra, high heels and pyjamas.
Hey!
Not all at once.
No.
Not all at once, but those items make me feel sexy.
Oh, and what's your go-to for high heels? What would you recommend?
High heels. Now, I don't mind scrimping on some things, but shoes I always spend a bit of money on. So I kind of do my research. In the past, I've treated myself to a nice Gucci or a nice Prada or something like that.
Fancy lady.
Or M&S or ASOS. Do good high heels at cheap prices.
I have to say, and they haven't even paid me for this, M&S do a very comfortable shoe.
They do.
And a very comfortable heel. So get yourself down, M&S, if there's still stores existing in the future. next question. What's your most favourite thing to put in your body? Whether it's like food, wine, cock.
That's been a while. Maybe I should say that on air.
You're allowed to say that on air. It's been ages for me too, and I've got one next to me every night.
Oh my God. For me, instant thoughts on what would I put in myself. It's got to be food and water.
Mm.
I love my food. Yeah. Always have. And I'm just not going to give it up. I might alter it a little bit, but I'm not going to give it up. And water, I live and die by the stuff these days.
An excellent answer. What is your most embarrassing body moment, Faye?
Ah. Okay. So there was a time I was in a bar. There's a theme here as well, the bar.
She likes a drink.
I'm stood at the bar waiting to be served. And I get chatting to the guy next to me. And we're chatting away. And I'm thinking, oh, there's a bit of flirting going on here. And I'm thinking, oh, he's properly checking me out. He's kept looking at me and stuff. So then I get my drinks, deposit them, and I toddle off to the loo. I've got a bogey.
No!
I've got a massive greenie.
Oh, no!
And I'm like, oh. That's why he was looking at me funny. Not because he fancied me.
You don't know that, Faye.
I think I do. It's not good.
Well, let's turn it. Let's go for something positive. What's the best thing somebody has said to you about you?
My legs. Yeah. Everyone always comments on my legs because I've got long legs.
Awesome.
Put them in a pair of heels and
showing.
Check it, baby.
Nice. Fat facts. Do you know that we produce a litre of saliva every day?
No way.
Gross, hey?
A litre?
A litre of, that's like 2 pints.
So every time those people spit on the streets,
yeah,
they're depleting their saliva. Yeah. A litre of saliva. Yeah,
that's what we create every day. Because we're always swallowing it, obviously, but that's what we create every day in our bodies.
But what about the sweat when you sweat it out?
I don't know. I'm not a doctor. Cool. That was just.
Have I just killed that serious fact? I just killed it.
Fine. It's just meant to be fun.
And
sorry.
No. One more thing. No, it's absolutely fine. Being a dickhead. Did you know face hair is the fastest growing hair on your body?
That's why I've got a tash.
That's exactly right. It's that 5 o'clock shadow we don't want to talk about.
Oh, my God.
I didn't realise, because this is the thing I find hilarious. Is like, you know, you can look in your face one day and the next day you feel like, where the fuck did that witch's hair grow out of my... Like, how? Like an inch of like, wire out of your chin? How did that happen? Like, and you, like, blink and you've got a moustache. Yeah, exactly right. It makes sense now. The Hall of Fat Fame. Who would you put in the Hall of Fat Fame? Who makes you feel fabulous or who inspires you?
Okay, this is the Instagram handle. I think her name's Natalie. It's Style Me Sunday.
Oh, yes.
Her body confidence posts, and she includes her flaws, are just amazing, and I love it when she does it. Mm. I really do, because I'm like, you go, girl.
Yeah,
like she doesn't care, and I love it. And of course, you, Helen. Of course, you.
Obvs. Yeah, that's I paid her to say that. Do follow me, Helen wears a size 18. And finally, Fatspiration. Fatspiration. What is your mantra, or what words do you live by?
I live by treat people how you would like to be treated. Karma's a bitch. Every dog has their day.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my mantras.
Amen.
Amen.
Faye Reid, you're a fucking delight. I love you.
Oh, I love you too, Helen. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, my God. And where can people find you on the internet, Faye Reid?
You can find me at 9 to 5 Menopause. I've got a little blog on the go. I will update it. I'm just getting it out there.
All right.
And follow me on social media.
Wonderful. You have been listening to the Fat Lot of Good podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne. The producer of the show is the incredible Maddie Hickish. And the music you've been listening to is by John Thorne. Yes, that's my brother. Please rate, review and subscribe, and would love to hear from you. Please get in touch. We love you out there. Anyway, thank you, Faye Reid. It's
you.
The end.
Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.